Thanks for joining me for another business here on CannabisRadio.com. And my next guest here has been very familiar to all of you that listen into our grassroots marketing program, but I really wanted to bring my guest on today on the blunt business because there is a larger subject we need to go and talk about today in the area of compliance. And you know what? I haven't had a good compliance rant in a while on this program, but I think what's being brought here is very important. So let's go ahead and bring up about that. My guest is the founder and owner of Autumn Brands, sixth generation farming family, championing clean cannabis by growing 100% spray-free flower on California Santa Barbara coast. Their pesticide-free approach uses beneficial insects like ladybugs to maintain a healthy ecosystem and yield pure, potent cannabis. I'm welcoming back to the program. First time on Blunt Business, Autumn Shelton here on the program. Thanks for being on with me.
Thanks for having me.
Always glad to have you on. I know you're always made. I love that you're always so available for interviews and all. And this particular story is very important. I think it needs to get a bigger spotlight. So I like to go and have it where we can talk about it on this program here. So there was an LA Times investigation that uncovered widespread pesticide use in California's legal cannabis market. Many popular brands of vapes and pre-rolled weed exceeded state or federal pesticide limits. Pesticide exposure in cannabis poses serious health risks, including damage to kidneys, liver, and other organs, they reported. And the investigation raises concerns about the safety of safe cannabis in California and the need for stricter regulations. And the investigation highlighted the importance of responsible cannabis cultivation practices that prioritize consumer safety. This is not anything new we've heard about in other markets. And in New York, we were talking about the fact that, you know, the outdoor cultivation has also had issues with pesticides and various possible contaminants that were being put onto the plants as well. That also got scrutiny. That was from a New York Cannabis Insider investigation, I remember. That was in the spring, I think, of this year. And the same thing here. Now, Autumn, you and I have talked extensively about the process of what your team has done in terms of cultivation and of such a very organic approach. And when you read this, obviously you wanted to make a point about it, but let's go and just real quickly, what's your initial reaction to this investigation about widespread pesticide use in the legal cannabis market in California of all places?
Well, I mean, it's such an important conversation, and it's exactly, you know, one of the reasons why we went 100% spray-free, no pesticides, before we started the brand, because, you know, pesticides can be really harmful to you if you can't necessarily wash them off like you can with your vegetables. And when you're inhaling a product, what you're putting in your body is, you know, you want it to be as natural as possible. And these chemicals can be really harmful to us. I mean, historically we were smoking pot for, you know, decades, but when it was probably full of pesticides and we didn't really think about it because that's what we got. And now we have an industry. Now we have an opportunity to not put pesticides, not put chemicals on our cannabis. So it's really important that we really follow the regulations, that the states really implement compliance on these aspects, because this is different. This is different than produce.
Now, one of the things we talked about on previous episodes is the fact of where your family's heritage is Dutch. And, you know, obviously been a very successful way of a Dutch style of cultivation for various plants or for various other plants that grow, and that would include cannabis. And part of it just was that you were able to go and grow it in a very organic fashion with very little, any kind of other, you know, treatments to those plants, and it's always worked so well. But one of the things I always hear about a lot is, you know, there's so much emphasis on indoor cultivation, but it's because of the fact of, you know, the work of trying to avoid any contaminants that could be just naturally in the air outside of pesticides that could be on the plants and the quality of the plants that could come through that, you know, if you're worried about any of those plants being thrown away because of the outdoor cultivation, the weather conditions might not play so well. So like say in New York, if they want to do outdoor, you know, the air dry conditions are very cold in many cases, can be very much that way. But for you at Autumn Brands, you know, you found a great climate where you are in California using a very tried and true method of cultivation, and it's worked best for what your brand has been able to do. But what is it about these other companies that are doing outdoor cultivation that, you know, what is it about that you feel like is being done that continues to kind of put a little bit of a damper on those that feel like outdoor cultivation might not be the best course of action?
Well, first clarification, I am not part of the Dutch family. The brands are Hans, Hannah, and Johnny, his two kids. Those are part of the Dutch. So I am more just a friend and business partner to them. But it's not easy actually to be pesticide free. So I'm not going to say this was an easy transition for us to do that back in early 2018. It was something where Hans said, "I want to do this. I see how important this is going to be in the future for this product, and I want to make a difference, and I want to do something different." And so we did. And when Johnny came in, really worked on a beneficial program. We threw away thousands and thousands of plants in the beginning, but what we learned is that we were able to create this natural ecosystem. And while that is easier in a greenhouse setting than truly like in an outdoor setting, because the beneficials will come and go a little bit more. But what we learned in this process is that because we created this natural ecosystem where the good bugs want to hang out and want to stay, including the native ladybug that found her own way into our greenhouses and continues to populate and populate and populate and do a lot of the work for us, you're able to not have to spray these pesticides. You don't have to spray insecticides, chemicals on your plants to get rid of these types of things.
Oh, take 10 seconds. Well, I'll go ahead and take that out. No problem.
Okay. Powdery mildew, that's also one of the biggest culprits that we deal with. And that's also why people spray these insecticides and pesticides. But we learned also how to control that by only growing genetics that work in our environment, in our ecosystem. We're mountains and ocean. So we really need to be able to work with something that grows well in our environment. And so that's part of the process is learning how to work with nature. And that's how you can be really successful.
But it's one of those things where, I've heard for years. This goes back to when I got to go attend the NCIA's Cannabis Business Summit back in 2016, I want to was it was. And I remember hearing all the issues. I was, without naming names, but there was a lot of talk about the compliance standards that were put in California, or the 2018, excuse me. Let me correct that. That there were compliance standards that were set in California that might have been not as high as they should be given that. But do you feel like, with the compliance issues that have been in place prior to this investigation, do you feel like the Cannabis Control Board in California, had they been doing more to help raise the compliance standards that would fit a level that you're already reaching and above and beyond?
When they set the regulations, they set the pesticide regulations harder than any other agricultural crop. So I think they felt like they had really gone above and beyond what they should have done. What we learned today and what the LA Times article really pushed for was to look further than that, to go stricter, to actually start testing for things that aren't even on the list because these are being snuck in. So as this industry and develops, we really need to be able to grow with it. And so that is what the DCC is having to do today. And that's what, is really important that we continue to look at what's necessary. And I mean, obviously, we believe in pesticide free. So I've been pushing the DCC for years to create a pesticide free program. So I'm hoping this also is a wake up call that they will add that in as well to really promote 100% spray free cannabis.
Are you surprised by the fact that this kind of actions are happening right now in California? And what would be the modus operandi for this happening anyway to allow this investigation to go and find these findings?
Well, I mean, cannabis industry has come from an illicit world and thrown into a regulated world very quickly. And so you are going to have people and players that are going to be good actors and bad actors, and some are going to come in and try to work this regulated market and still kind of work the illicit market at the same time. And this is going to be no different. They're going to cut corners. People are also going to start cutting corners when the market crashes, which it did in 2021. I mean, it is very hard to survive right now. So you're going to see people, whatever they can kind of sneak around and do, and so that they don't have to spend money on certain things. Some of them are going to do it. For us, It is so important to stay true to who we are, stay true to our methodology. We are still here. It is not easy, you know, in this market, but we really believe that if you really continue to provide a consistent, high quality product and staying true to your morals and compliance and the regulations, that you can stay in this and be successful once this turns back around again.
I'm here with Autumn Shelton, founder and owner of Autumn Brands. When we come back, we're going to talk more about what regulators could be doing right now to help in the issue of pesticide contamination so that we don't have a lot of times looking down and investigating further on this and not getting this put to light. And on top of that, there's other various factors as to where this all comes in and more. Again, with Autumn, again, website is autumnbrands.com. Of course, AUTUMNbrands.com. Make sure to take a look at the website as we go to commercial break.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
Welcome back. I'm here with Autumn Shelton, founder and owner of Autumn Brands. So we've been talking about the LA Times investigation about where they found uncovering widespread pesticide use in California's legal cannabis market. Now, you did make mention of before the commercial break about the fact that, you know, we have dealt with a lot of issues where, you know, in California as well. I mean, it's very well could be up to about 50% of the sales of California cannabis could be attributed to illicit operations and how many different operations have been shut down as well. So it's one of those things where, you know, the legal industry, as I've said before on this program many times, has to stay above ground and, you know, always go above and beyond compliance standards. But that's one of the things where, you know, it is very specific that they decided to go look at legal operations. I don't know if they said anything about in terms of the illicit market, but that's one of those things where, like you said yourself, the illicit market has not been resolved yet. And, you know, to go ahead and spotlight on the industry that is going by the set of standards that have been put in place and being, you know, attacked on this way, meanwhile, that illicit market still stands pretty thriving.
Yeah, the illicit market, I mean, is still a huge problem. But, you know, they have seen a downturn as well with the regulated market, also with people growing their own in their backyards. But this continues to be competition for us, to be a problem. But we also are up against high taxation and regulation and people trying to get into this marketplace, and also municipalities throughout California just not creating a opportunity for those to get into this industry to create dispensaries, cultivation. So those still remain to be our biggest problems.
And from the story, they talk about the fact that the California officials are still scrambling to test cannabis products for pesticides following the investigation, that there still hasn't been done enough from the regulator's end to handle this investigation. I mean, do you feel like the control board might have also, are they a bit complicit? Are they also responsible for why this investigation got out like it did, and that some of the compliance issues, you know, these violations did come into play?
You know, I spent a lot of time speaking with people at the DCC and really helping them understand how it's important to understand from an operator's standpoint. And I try to really understand from their standpoint and what they're up against as well. So I think they've really tried, but at the same time, no, they haven't done enough. And so that's why you're seeing all these recalls happening all of a sudden in the beginning of the year. A lab just got shut down that was mentioned in the LA Times article. Yeah. So this kind of information is really important to put a little fire under the government and to make sure that these bad actors are being watched and are being taken down. There was another article, Tiffany Divitt with the Green Market Report. I'm not sure if you read that one. It was kind of a counter to the LA Times article. Mm-hmm. She represents Cannacraft. And I thought that was a really great, well-balanced article that came out as well. And she felt like there was much smaller amount of bad actors, you know, with pesticides in their products. But at the same time, there still are, and there still is a problem. And if we're going to have this regulated, compliant market, then we need to make sure that the majority of them, if not all of them, are following the rules.
And that's the part, is that, or, you know, farms like yours are getting caught in this here when you have been responsible, when you have been more than compliant, and that you've been more than engaging and communicative with the governing bodies that help on this. and to see that, you know, it's one of those things where, let's be honest, the media, especially a legacy media outlet like the LA Times, you know, the way they want to position the investigation, just look at the headline itself, you know, the dirty secret of California's legal weed, tells you everything that you need to know about the fact of what the direction of putting the story out there and what they were, what agenda they were trying to achieve. That's my opinion saying that. I'm not saying for anybody else, but it's one of those things where, you know, I always talk about the fact that, you know, we can't have it where the industry can allow themselves as an entity to be attacked or to have themselves be easily attacked in this way, because we can't expect the government to go ahead and be perfectly, you know, above board and be able to go ahead and handle the situation. There's so many other factors that are in place, but, you know, it just looks bad. And for the California cannabis industry, again, I'm empathizing with people like, you know, farmers like you, because of the excessive amount of taxes that are being put right now. Excise taxes, state and local taxes are being put in place. So much that's going on in terms of, you know, just the struggle of trying to be able to go ahead and put products to market. And, you know, where you can put it, it's, it, I mean, California, for the size of the market, still has a lot of issues that are put in place. And I've talked to more than enough people in California that, you know, we've documented on Blunt Business that very aspect. But when you look at that, you know, the timing of the story and the approach of the story off the bat, it does feel a little bit concerning. What do you, how do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, I think the title, of course, is a little clickbait-ish. Of course, you know.
It's in business, of course.
I think, you know, I think there's positive things coming out of it. Was the
warning. The following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Tropical Smoothie Cafe welcomes you to Tropic Time. I'll be your concierge. Our beach bites, including made-to-order wraps and bowls, are full of tropic vibes. And our fresh-from-the-blender smoothies make you feel absolutely radiant. It's like a wellness retreat for your taste buds. You're on Tropic Time now at Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Got breakfast plans? At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, hitting your protein goals is a breeze. With our smoothies, bowls, wraps, and diets featuring up to 32 grams of protein.
Whole thing well, as well balanced in, you know, in how it was presented. Could they have talked about some other things that were positive that the DCC were doing, or more positive about what some other growers were doing? You know, the dreary, again, it's just, is more like clickbait, and people believe it. People believe what they read. And so I feel like I'm glad it came out. I'm glad that they're pushing the envelope on this, so that we are making changes. So, and when I say we, I mean the industry, the government, towards hopefully a better regulated market, because public health, public safety, public perception is really important. And that's also how we're going to be successful in this industry. And if we're going to be a regulated market and where people are going to pay excessive taxes to buy our products, they better be able to trust us all. And so I think overall it's really positive, but I think it could have been done maybe a little bit better.
Right. And, you know, and obviously this has taken a bit of a time where there's been a lot of this going on right now where California is now the newest target of these kind of stories, but it's not the first. Let's also make that a point as well. I've seen it. I'm actually pulling up right now where this has been going on for a long time, but this is also an industry-wide issue. Let's just put it like that as well, where in Washington State, they had issues in 2018. 84.6% of farms had significant amounts of pesticides, including insecticides, fungicides, miticides, and herbicides. Oregon also dealing with the same issue. Colorado having it in 2015. Nevada having the same issue. You know, there was national studies have been coming out all across the board. So it's a matter that, you know, uniformly, the whole industry needs to go ahead and create a standard of compliance. And I've always heard, for as long as I can remember, for all different consultants that I talked to, about good manufacturing practices, and that that process is a standard that already has been noted by what the FDA and other governing bodies already know about in other industries. And that could be something that could be attainable and achieved within the cannabis industry. Do you feel like if companies all together uniformly followed good manufacturing practices, regardless of whatever cannabis control board or whatever governing body there is in every state, do you think that would curb this problem?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, consistency is key, you know, to being successful, you know, as an industry, to be leaders in this industry, and for us to continue to grow and develop. You know, if we're not acting like a normal business, then people aren't going to look at us like a normal business. So everybody needs to be consistent in how they follow the rules and how they follow the manufacturing, the growing, and the retail sales. And then that way we will be a real business.
Now, let's go ahead and go to another commercial break. When we come back, Autumn, I want to go ahead and talk to you about what you've been able to go ahead and find out from, you know, the California Bureau of Cannabis Control and the conversations in that, and also with, among other cultivators, about what to do collectively to help shore things up in the industry when it comes to compliance. I'm here once again with Autumn Shelton, the founder and owner of Autumn Brands. AutumnBrands.com is the website. Back with final questions with Autumn after this.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
We're in the home stretch. Final questions right now I have with Autumn Shelton here on Blunt Business, founder and owner of Autumn Brands. Website is AutumnBrands.com, AutumnBrands.com. So Autumn, the most important thing is that I am really happy that you were able to come on with me today, because of the fact that, and again, you know, as an industry, I do not want to feel like I'm trying to go ahead and point the finger, and I don't, you know, it's like the LA Times, okay, they might have found a couple of bad, you know, a couple of situations where, you know, the industry got their, they found them with their pants down. They were caught off guard. And this is where there's a shoring up and there needs to be much more accountability and much more compliance standards put in play. And I mentioned beforehand, and I know you know it's the same thing, where if GMP certification could be put into place, I mean, we're already having enough issues when it comes to, you know, cannabis products that are sold in other stores that are either Delta 8, Delta 9, and other issues that could also, and even with CBD products, that also have their own compliance issues to be talked about. But when it comes to cannabis, I feel like it's much more feasible. And what you have been doing yourself, you've talked about, you've had communications with the Bureau of Cannabis Control. And since 2018, since you've been operating, talk to me about what the conversations have been in terms of what has changed in the compliance standards since your team, since your family had came into the fold, and where we are today, 6 years later.
Oh, wow. It has been a journey.
but you've come through it really well, because you don't look like you look tired or, you know, totally exhausted about it. You're a lot of energy in this, and there's, you know, obviously, there's a pride and there's obviously an enthusiasm of who you're, what you're offering in terms of products and your pride in your products.
Well, thank you. I appreciate those compliments, because I do have my good days and my bad days for sure, on where I feel positive and I feel like it's so hard. But it was, you know, the very beginning. I mean, we were part of it from the beginning. So at the state level and the county level, and working with the regulators to help them understand from an operator standpoint. So we were really involved in the compliance side of it. I think we were the 11th to go on metric in California, and the first with multiple state licenses. And so really having to learn with them along that process on how to be in this regulated market. So going through all the different agencies, this was just, I mean, endless compliance side of it. So today I feel like it just, whereas then it was building and learning and SOPs and and revising today, everything kind of just flows for the most part, and what we do. So there was definitely, I think in 2021, I had this huge sense of relief once we kind of got through all the permitting process and license process. That we just, once everything was finalized, like, oh, we made it. Now I can just focus on running a business.
Yes.
You know, and so I felt like the last couple of years it's been that, but also really hard because the market had crashed, and, you know, by 60%, your sales are down. It's a whole different world. So I guess it's a good thing that that'll happen in that timing, because then you could just focus then on the financial side.
Always watch that way somehow. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, today compliance wise, it definitely feels good just to kind of be in our rhythm now, and everything just flows. And, you know, even when we get our, when we get inspections, it's more of a farm chore today than really a nitpicky, oh, you need to fix this kind of, or, you know, scared that we didn't do something right. So that part of it feels really good. But still being in this industry is very challenging. One, an agricultural product. Two, creating a CPG product in a very limited marketplace, and being tackled with 280E, which, fingers crossed, goes away this year or next.
Now, the other thing we've talked about a lot on the program has been the rescheduling of cannabis and where things are right now for that. But at the moment, I know there's been the recommended rescheduling, and now we're still waiting for the finalizing of the process. I know there's been no set timeline, but we're still waiting right now to see what happens with it. But benefits that come from rescheduling, number one, it is, you know, helping to write off taxes now. So companies like yours now can go and finally start writing off particular expenses for tax purposes, just like any other good company. And the other part is the research end, because I think this is the opportunity that we have where if more research can be done on cannabis, obviously from a, you know, health level of the benefits and learning more about it, I think one of the other things that could be also beneficial is the testing, so that there could be things that can be done in terms of testing with either various pesticides or various different, you know, forms of the growth process to find out what would work, so that we can have a better scientific method of instilling practices that, you know, the governing bodies can go ahead and start saying, okay, here's the research, here's the data, this is why we need to go ahead and up our standards.
Yeah, I mean, that's the exciting part of this as well, is the research and being able to understand this plant. This plant has so many different aspects to it. So to really be able to dive deeper into the cannabinoids, CBCs, the CBGs, the CBNs, you know, and really understand how they benefit us, and going beyond just THC or beyond CBD, is really special. And terpenes, limonene, right, you know, myrcene, like how those really, you know, incorporate into our regulatory system, and how each person really can be benefited in a different way, and understanding it better. Because right now people just kind of, it's trial or error. Oh, this strain makes me feel really good, but they don't necessarily know why. So, you know, understanding all of that. And like you said, from a regulatory side, creating SOPs to develop really good, amazing cannabis.
Plus the conversation, and I can't go without talking about compliance, but we need to also talk about those lab testers. The labs, they're doing third-party testing where, you know, some of the reports are finding out, and whatever needs to be done in terms of communications or the level of testing that needs to be done, if it needs to be amplified, they need to go ahead and do more testing more often just to make sure to ensure quality, because it's quality control. It's any other industry always has that. It's just one of those things where I don't think that the industry wouldn't do it. I just think they just don't have they're only just following what the limits are necessary that they need to do, the bare minimum in some cases. And I will continue to just say that, you know, for compliance standards, you know, these kind of investigations can be thwarted. It can be avoided if the industry just learns, okay, we just need to go ahead and, you know, keep our ship shape, above board, clean, and we do what we need to do in terms of, you know what, some of those tax revenues that we get back, some of that money we get back, that 10% that comes back from rescheduling because 280E is no longer a factor, hey, put that back in the compliance. Reinvest into the business and take that so you can become GMP client. If that's what it takes, I'd rather not have anybody knocking on my door saying something's wrong. I'd rather have more people coming to the door and saying, hey, we're giving out great quality product and we're selling it like hotcakes.
Well, I mean, the DCC, the governor passed the bill to eliminate these individual plant tags through metric. They just aren't taking the time right now to create the regulation and change it. I mean, that's millions of dollars California is going to save. And that could be put into so many better functions, especially lab testing, standardizing lab testing. That's been something we really needed as well. I mean, there was too many labs doing different things, you know, and I think there's some labs, though, that played it a little too safe and they didn't actually, like, they're not figuring out ways how to really capture the data maybe a little bit better. So really having something that's standardized is so important. So it's been good to see some changes there as well. And I think there's still a lot of room to grow.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much more can be done in terms of helping California to, you know, just be able to grow more business and not be hampered by so much regulation here so that more money can be put aside so that compliance can be much more important. And it's one of those things where, you know, I don't envy what you have to deal with in California and what you're going through right there, but I'm sure the industry is very grateful for you to be so active within the community and, you know, raising this issue. And I'm really grateful that you decided to go and take my platform on and here on Blunt Business to go and talk about it. Thank you again so much for talking about this. This is an important subject. I think it is. I know you do. And we need to get that word out more to more people.
Thank you so much for having me on today. This is awesome.
As always, love having you on the program. So I'm glad we put you on Blunt Business. And of course, we've had you on plenty of times. Well, I'm sure we'll have you on plenty more times as well.
Love it.
So before we go, I should go into talk about Autumn Brands itself again, AUTUMNBrands.com. Take a minute to go and talk to people about what you have right now in terms of products and, you know, where people can find products now under the Autumn Brands label. Let's go talk about that and what you have going on right now these days in terms of a full wide range of products, pre-rolls, your Now Melt Intimate Wellness, salves, elixirs, and so much more.
Yeah, so we have our 3.5 gram standard that we've had since the beginning. We also have a 7 gram smalls and a 14 gram smalls and a 7 gram pouch. We have a half gram pre-roll, a mini pre-roll, and we're about to launch our infused mini pre-rolls, which is really exciting, diamond infused. Earlier this year, we launched our Now Melt line, which is really for self-care, partner care, includes an amazing infused bath crystal, Pucker Me Peach gummy to help you get in the mood, but also just great at the end of the day. It's just an incredible, relaxing feeling with ashwagandha and horny goatweed in it, gluten-free, vegan, which is important for me. And also this incredible intimate serum that definitely spikes up the bedroom. And my personal favorite, an edible whipped body butter that tastes and smells like strawberries and white chocolate. And then we move into kind of our more recovery line, which is our amazing topical that's made with a lot of the most magnesium you can on the market. Right. And that's what really, really helps this product work. And it's instant, like any type of pain. I'm always stubbing my toe or my elbow or something, and it's just incredible. We've had athletes come to us just so incredibly impressed by how much it helps them. So that's just been, that was my passion project for years. So that one just warms my heart. And then our two incredible elixirs. We have a 1,000 milligram tincture and a 1-2 thrive elixir as well. So great for sleep or great for pain and recovery after a surgery.
Autumn Schoen, founder and owner of Autumn Brands, autumnbrands.com, AUTUMNBrands.com. Take a look at the whole thing there and also available all throughout California in dispensaries. So you can also get that and also see you have it available for delivery in Santa Barbara County. So for those who want to get their hands on it, please do. If you're in California, go ahead and visit Autumn and the team there at Autumn Brands. Thank you so much for being on with us. So really do appreciate it again. And thank you for bringing the story to light.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the story.
Absolutely. And hope listeners, you can catch a lot from this and it's going to continue to talk about the word about cannabis and tell your also fellow industry members the same thing here. We need to be above compliance. And, you know, I hit that note home all the time here on this program. So you'll hear more about it in the future episodes in the coming months. Until then, we'll talk to you next time.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.